Welcome back to In the Moment. Andre Larson helped put the town of Vermilion on the map as founding director of the National Music Museum. Working with the University of South Dakota and the South Dakota Arts Council, Larson founded what was then known as the Shrine to Music Museum in 1973. Larson died last week at the age of 74. SDPB's Jeremy Ludeman spoke with USD Foundation President Emeritus and Vermilion resident Ted Munster about Larson's legacy.
First of all, how long have you been affiliated with the U? Were you here when the museum got going?
Yes, I really was. I've been affiliated here off and on since 1977, which is incredibly 50 years. Or excuse me, 1967. Shows you how good I am in math.
Well,
1967, when Andre Larson's father, Arnie Larson, had a room in what is now the entire building is the Music Museum. He had one corner of the main floor where he had a lot of his instruments. And he was a professor of music, but the museum was not a formal entity at that time.
So you were here when the Shrine to Music Museum was conceived and was put on?
Yes, although I was not involved in that. That occurred in the early 70s when I was on leave of absence doing other things in South Dakota. And so I was not involved with the founding.
What are your memories of Andre Larson?
Well, Andre was an inscrutable character in some ways. He was very focused about his collection and building the reputation of the museum. I would say he was brilliant intellectually. He sometimes had, he did not suffer fools lightly. And in spite of that, he seemed to get along with me. He's the one that built the collection that his father started into a true world-class place. There's probably nothing quite like it anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, I haven't been over there myself, but everyone has told me how incredible the National Music Museum is. So when you talked about him being somebody that really built on the collection, what are your first memories of the museum?
Well, it goes back to the collection before it officially became a museum. We lived in Vermilion. I should explain that my family and I have lived here three times in the last 50 years. And the second time we lived here, Andre's father, Arnie, used to walk by our house, and our children were small in grade school. And sometimes they were outside playing. He would invite them to come with him to what was then the museum, which is one room in the old Carnegie Library building. And he would play instruments for them. He'd show them how the various instruments were played. He had a little tutorial. And he was a very kind man, very focused. And he moved here from Brookings, brought his collection here in the 1960s. And it was a kind of an eclectic collection, something like 1,200 instruments, something in that order. And but his son Andre really built the collection from that point on to what it is today. And he was able to find people with deep pockets who had shared his passion in instruments and would lay out large amounts of money to purchase instruments on the world market. He had a unique ability to do that. He was so focused and so passionate about building the collection that it was infectious, and he was able to persuade other people to give significant amounts of money.
What do you think the museum means for the University of South Dakota?
Well, it's what separates this school from any other in the world. No other higher education campus or arguably any other institution anywhere has anything comparable. They have about 15,000 instruments. Only something like 8% are on display at any one time. And then there are hundreds of thousands of other items in their collections that are not technically instruments, but printed materials and accessories that go with instruments. And it's a major research center for the entire world. There are always people here from around the world studying the instruments, where they can find them nowhere else. And so, as I describe it, it's what separates USD from any other college in the world.
When you're talking about, I guess, the significance of Andre Larson to Vermillion, to the community as a whole.
Well, Andre tended to be a very private person. He was not a flamboyant personality. I think he liked Vermillion. He went to school here, went to college here, went away to get his graduate degree at West Virginia. And but he was not a major community figure. He was pretty restricted to his collection and building the research capacity of the collection in the museum.
So what do you believe is his legacy other than the museum? Do you think it's the people coming and studying at the Music Museum?
Well, his legacy obviously is the museum and what that means, that there are people from around the world that come here. In some ways, it's ironic that with only a little bit of facetiousness, I often say that this museum is better known in Paris than it is in Pierre. And if you talk to people that follow the cultural world around, the cultural community around the world, the National Music Museum in Vermillion, South Dakota is very well known.
So with his work, this puts Vermillion on the map the world.
It certainly does. You know, we have a lot of things here that are very good, but there are hundreds of other places that have what we have. English departments, accounting departments, basketball teams, but nobody has anything like this anywhere else, certainly in the United States and in the entire world, as far as I know. The museum is looking at the possibility of doing an expansion. The university has agreed to make a neighboring building available, and the museum's interested in acquiring that building from the university, and then building a third building connecting the two existing buildings. And that's a campaign that's been quietly underway for some time, and we hope that it can get done very soon. And if for no other reason, in honor of Andre Larson's reputation and his character and his dedication to this community and this campus, it should be done in his memory.
That's SDPB's Jeremy Ludeman talking with Ted Munster about the late Andre Larson. Larson died last week at the age of 74.